Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
Keystone of democracy.
I love your family and dear. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
This is another in the statewide series of programs known as Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Historical dramatization showing the part our own state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States. This series is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our own great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be warm, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
Indian, Indian.
You'll never forget Pearl Harbor, will you? On that day, December 7th, 1941, you were shocked and angry when news came of the treacherous attack made on Americans like yourself. But the United States, particularly Pennsylvania, has known such infamy before. And that's our story. The story of the Wyoming Massacre and the Sullivan Expedition that followed to avenge the crime. At the time of the Revolutionary War, many families were living in the fertile Wyoming Valley in northeastern Pennsylvania. In July 1778, a horde of some 600 Seneca Indians and Tories came pouring down the Susquehanna River from New York State to kill, ravage, and burn. A small band of the settlers, mostly old men and boys, marched bravely out of 40 Fort in an effort to stop the savages. Heavily outnumbered, the colonists were badly beaten. Lusting for blood and scalps, the savages had nothing to check their depredations.
All is lost, Faith.
I can't believe it, Tom. I can't believe it.
Did your own eyes deceive you? Look. Look out the cabin window. Homes, our homes, being burned to the ground. I tell you, the Redskins have gone crazy. Come, if we can reach the river, there's still a chance.
Tom, can we take this trunk?
Have you gone as crazy as the Indians? It's our lives we must think of, not a trunk.
But it has all my wedding finery in it.
What good will it do if... Oh, Faith, hurry.
Look, they're here. Those Indians outside.
Oh, quick, the door. Help me move the trunk against it.
Tom! Tom! No! No!
The Wyoming Massacre was a hideous affair. Men, women, and children were scalped, murdered, terribly mutilated. Prisoners were burned alive at the stake. Wounded, slowly tortured to death. Out of the valley, those who managed to escape fled across the Pocono Mountains for refuge in Stroudsburg and Easton. Their piteous tales of horror swelled into a rising demand that Congress and the Continental Army should take action. Finally, in February 1779...
Major General John Sullivan.
How do you do, Major General? Sit down. I didn't expect you until tomorrow.
Your dispatch appeared urgent, General Washington.
It was. A decisive war against the Indians and Tories must be waged. You are probably almost as well acquainted with the situation as I am.
If you refer to the Wyoming and Cherry Valley massacres...
I do. The Board of War wants us to send an expedition into New York State and carry the war into the country of the Six Nations. Your assignment would be to cut off their settlement, destroy their crops, and inflict upon them every other mischief which time and circumstance will permit. The Tories are using the Six Nations to plunder the colonists and obtain grain and cattle for the enemy. This must be stopped.
You have a campaign in mind, General Washington?
Yes. There are many details to be worked out. The plan will involve a combined movement of two divisions, yours and General James Clinton's. Here, let us look at the map. Now, here are the settlements of the Iroquois in the Finger Lake region of New York State. Note the rivers. These will be your highways for troop and supply movement. You'll no doubt want to use Fort Augusta or Easton as a base, gather more forces at Wyoming, and then proceed up the Susquehanna. Clinton will start from Albany, go to Otsego Lake, to send the Susquehanna and join you perhaps at this point, Tioga.
I see. And from here we can push up the Chemung River into the fertile valley of the Seneca and Cayuga Indians. Now, these were the devils who were responsible for the Wyoming massacre.
In a broad sense, that is the strategy. Its execution will prove difficult, for the enemy is tricky and resourceful. You know, Sullivan, fighting Indians in western Pennsylvania with Braddock and Forbes taught me much about the arts of warfare. One thing I learned was to rush on them with war whoops and fixed bayonets. In battle, nothing will disconcert and terrify the Indians more than this.
Camp Wyoming, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, July 31st, 1779.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
How are preparations proceeding?
Fine, sir. The men are having a little trouble with some of the pack horses.
And the boats?
All are ready. They're loaded with the guns of the artillery regiment, ammunition, salted provisions, heavy baggage, and most of the flour.
Think you we shall be able to start by noon?
Undoubtedly, sir. I've carried out your orders. The cannon will be fired at noon sharply. A signal to begin the march.
Fine. Well, it's almost that now. Colonel Proctor ready to start the fleet?
Yes, sir. 250 soldiers and his regiment are on board, together with 450 boatmen.
Well, we shall need every one of them. Pushing those boats upstream by setting poles will be no easy job. Well, it's a minute before noon.
And fly! Battalion!
Company!
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 Tension!
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 Forward! March!
With a resounding cannon shot, the Sullivan expedition started on its way. Riflemen sifted silently through the forest, scouting the enemy. The main body of the army kept as nearly abreast the fleet as possible. Penetrating a wilderness of streams and mountains, their progress was slow. On August 13th, after a long night's march, they fell upon the Indian town of Chemung, destroying 50 houses and surrounding cornfields. Returning to Tioga, now Athens, Pennsylvania, Sullivan awaited the arrival of Clinton's reinforcements. These arrived on the 22nd, and a few days later, Sullivan again started his offensive. Approaching a settlement called Newtown...
A message from Major Parser.
Let's have it, man. What is it?
I have to report, sir, that a large number of the enemy are concealed behind an extensive breastwork which commands our line of advance. They're well hidden, probably going to try an ambush.
Well, here it is, Clinton. I think we've at last met up with Butler and his savages. This time they're going to discover what it's like to fight trained American troops. Let's move up and look over the situation. To horse!
Major Parr reporting, sir.
Ah, yes, Parr. You've uncovered a little surprise, I understand.
I believe so, sir. The scouts have done well. If you'll come with me, I'll show you their emplacement and the general terrain. From this hilltop, General Sullivan, you can see where the Indians and the Tories are located. On the rising ground, parallel to the road, their works are constructed. Hidden, you'll observe, by brush and small trees they've cut. Now, most of them are there. But a strong party is posted about 150 rods to the rear on the hill and considerably over there to the left. They're waiting for our columns to march up that road.
So they are.
Adjutant, my compliments to General Hand. Tell him to form his light corps in the woods in front of their works and then skirmish. After the main body of the army is in position, he is to attack on order. To General Poor, have your brigade form the right wing, deploying to the rear of General Hand. General Maxwell, form the left wing abreast of General Poor and ready to act as occasion may require. General Clinton, follow in the rear of General Poor to support him in case of necessity or resist any attack from the rear.
Thank you. faced with a rushing, surging attack of the American troops, the enemy broke and ran in utter confusion, leaving General Sullivan in command of the field. The Battle of Newtown, skillfully planned and ably executed, broke the organized resistance of the Indians and Tories and opened the door into their territory. Through the land of the Six Nations, Sullivan's army marched to level their villages, uproot the growing crops, and destroy everything of value. Only a lack of supplies and provisions prevented Sullivan from pressing on to the capture of Fort Niagara. With his men down to half rations and no means of obtaining additional supplies, Sullivan was forced to withdraw to Wyoming.
Well, Hand, here we are, back in Wyoming again. It's been a hard campaign, and I'm very tired.
Yes, General Sullivan, I can see that you are. The long marches, the sleepless nights, the lack of food, cares, responsibilities, all these have been yours. All we have had to do was follow orders. You know, General Sullivan, as we went through that beautiful country by Cayuga and Seneca Lakes, destroying everything we could lay our hands on, I was often troubled. It seemed like such a cruel and senseless thing to do. But now that we're back here in Pennsylvania, back here in this lovely valley, I don't know. This place was destroyed, too, and what was worse, so were the people. Had we not acted as we did, there would have been other Wyoming massacres.
That is war, Hand. Once you're in it, you can't back out. It's either you or they who devastate and conquer.
It has taken our people a long time to see this. Indifference, apathy, groups quarreling amongst themselves, people watching out for their pocketbooks and selfish pleasures, and failing to support the men at the front who are fighting to protect them. I wonder sometimes where Washington finds the courage to carry on.
We owe a great debt to him, and Anthony Wayne, Robert Morris, Benjamin Franklin, and all the others who have never counted the cost or questioned the value of liberty. And yet, Hand, I'm sure the people are awakening. This campaign is an evidence of it. Americans are coming to see that since they can't have peace and security by merely resisting aggression, they must take the offensive and get rid of the evil at its source. That is what we did in New York State, and that is what we will continue to do until liberty and independence have been won.
Out of the Wyoming massacre on Pennsylvania soil was born a new spirit that was to take the war to the enemy and bring ultimate victory to this early contest.
Today, faced with similar savagery and brutality as shown at Pearl Harbor and Bataan, the United States is again on the offensive, a drive which will never cease until the principles of human decency and justice are established for all mankind.
Today is then Pennsylvania's leading in this attack, united as never before, ready to give their lives and fortunes for the cause of freedom. The people of this great commonwealth are again showing the spirit that has made Pennsylvania keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, you the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
You have just heard another in the series of broadcasts, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Your work, whether it's in the mine, factory, store, home, or school, is part of the national effort. Do it well. Buy war bonds and stamps. And listen again next week for another chapter in the history of our great commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania.